Blog Talk Radio.
Twice. Good afternoon, everybody. Getting out live on blogtalkradio.com, and we are the Middle Men. This is the Middle Men Talk Show, and I'm Al.
What's going on, man? What's going on? It's Kevin. What's going on?
Hey, man. I had an exciting week last week. Of course, you know. But let me let everybody else out there know. Would you mind if I do that? Do you
man,
mind?
Do what you gotta do.
If I do that.
Do what you gotta do.
I want to give a shout out to my guys, the Nukes of KASI, Phi Nu Pi. To the day we die, we celebrated our 100th year anniversary, annual celebration all last week, man. It was a blast. I mean, I met guys from all across the world, man. That was, you know, members of this greatest, the greatest fraternity in America, in the world in general. I got a chance to actually go to the campus of where we were founded, up at Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana. I was able to see our first fraternity house, which was amazing, man. It was like, I mean, it's just like seeing, I mean, like seeing Africa, man. You know, just seeing something that you thought you would never be able to see, man. And like, you know, just being there where, you know, 10 young men founded a fraternity that has still been alive for 100 years, and seeing where they lived, that seeing where they fellowship, they rejoiced, and, you know, formed this brotherhood together, man. It was just amazing, man. It was just all overwhelming, man. I mean, it was, man, the greatest time of my life, man.
I'm happy for you, man. You know, you got the chance to see where your bros yeah. come from, you understand your legacy, all that good stuff right there, man. That's great, man. Shouts out to all your friends.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to all your friends out there, man. I'm glad you enjoyed yourself, man. How was the city, man?
Man, the city was, Indianapolis was, I mean, it's a nice city, man. You know, it's, well, you know, where we were pretty much over there by, you know, the stadium and the convention center. But the city is very nice, man. Very beautiful. They got some nice statues. I mean, it's very beautiful over there. I mean, and they're still working on the city to improve it, because, you know, they are, like the Super Bowl is going to be played there next year. So they're making some, you know, some revisions and improving the city, you know, to where all the, you know, the fans and all the visitors will be actually staying at, to improve it and make it more of a walking type area, because they're putting more sidewalks there and all of that. And I mean, like, the nightlife, oh my man, I don't know what's best, the nightlife out in Atlanta or the nightlife out in Indianapolis. I mean, it was like a whole block full of clubs, like the whole block was just sectioned off, nothing but like different clubs go in and be amongst different types of, you know what I'm saying, depending on what you want to do that night. Mm-hmm. You know, they also have different types of dress codes, of course, you know, depending on what type of club you want to go to that night. But pretty much everybody was outside, because it was just so many people there just having fun and rejoicing, man. It was crazy. I mean, even kids was out there. I'm talking about, like, kids that 9, 10, 11 years old were just out walking the streets, too. You know, I was like, no, y'all need to be in the bed. But
other
than that, man, oh, man, wild and crazy, man. But other than that, man, I had a good time. I had a great time. I actually got to see Nephew Tommy. I didn't get a chance to meet him, but I actually saw him.
Everybody guys with him.
I didn't get a chance. Well, he didn't. But, you know, some of his guys was there, you know, so they was all around him and stuff like that. But I didn't get to see Cedric Entertainer, because he actually, I think he spoke Wednesday or early Thursday, something like that. But I did get a chance to see Cedric the Entertainer. But I also got to see Spinderella. She DJ'd at our picnic that we had on Friday. She did a marvelous job. I actually got a chance to get up close to her, but I wasn't able to get a chance to talk to her because everybody was on her, you know. But
you look good at that age, huh?
Man, whew, Spinderella. But also Thelma from Good Times was there. Thelma still look good. Still got the shape. So if y'all listeners out there that don't know who Thelma from Good Times is, man, just Google Thelma from Good Times and you will see her. But she still was looking good, man. I mean, man, it was crazy. But there was a lot of people out there, man. I met a lot of guys, a lot of, you know, guys, all types of nationalities that is a part of this great fraternity. You know what I'm saying? We had, you know, Caucasian, Indian, Japanese, Chinese, Mexican. I mean,
yeah,
we're
not talking off the air about that right there because you know what I'm going to say.
Here we go.
You know what I'm going to say.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah, it's going down. I see Gina finally walked up in the building. What's going on, girl?
Oh, I'm running a little late. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It ain't the first time, Jen.
No.
I'm going to put you on blast, man. Stay.
All good things come to those who wait. I'm not that late. It's a little late.
Yeah. You and your partner in crime. He gonna just pop in when he want to today.
See, I'm not that bad. At least I'm not that bad.
Yeah, well, man, I'm glad you enjoyed yourself up there. At least you ain't get locked up. We ain't got no money.
That is true, man. That is true. That is true. I am excited about that.
Look around, be like, dang, what happened to him? He got locked up.
No.
Hey, Cunning.
Nah.
Yeah. But hey, man, we had a great show last week. You missed us on this past Thursday, man, with Nick Eaton, man. Speaking of the devil, he ain't gonna, I don't know when he gonna get in, but he may not even be here tonight. But look, with Nick Eaton, we did the BET follow up, the recap. And also, he kind of talked about black men in the music industry, how they're fearful of the black man in the music industry. And I kind of understood where he was coming from. We appreciate all the callers that called in and listening to the past previous show. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And we hope to hear you guys again this weekend.
All right.
It was a great show, man. He kind of went in on a couple of folks by the BET Awards, man, and I do agree with them. If Kevin Hart wasn't there, this show wouldn't have been hitting on nothing.
Mm.
So, that's how he felt about it.
Okay. Yeah. I can agree with that. I'm not even finna, you know, think into that. I can definitely agree with that.
Yeah, Nick was going in now. You know how he do.
Right. Right. He's very analytical.
And on some other news, man, I think we're going to have to go get somebody and get a BB gun and shoot old Boehner in the ass. John Boehner, that old Republican, man. I'm tired of that dude, man. Yeah, like he punking Barack, man. I'm tired of that dude.
Man.
Have you seen it? Barack,
ain't
like,
worried
Barack
about that
is
dude.
Almost all gray now.
Dealing with them people.
Yeah.
Dealing with them people. The biggest thing is he ain't got nobody got his back. Nancy, what her name is? Nancy Pelosi.
Right.
She sucks. Man, all of them suck, man. I'm going to tell y'all something. This is something me and a partner of mine were talking about yesterday. They going to hold all these jobs back until he get out of office. I guarantee it. If he win this next election, we going to go 4 more years of bull with no jobs. I'm telling y'all. Mark my words. You heard it here first.
And it's spiteful, and it's just, it's sad, and it's just a constant reminder that, you know, prejudice and people of hate are still well and alive, and a lot of them are powerful people in this country, and it's just really sad. I don't know if y'all, one thing in the news that just shocked me was, what's the Kaylee, the whole thing in Florida, the mom, top mom. Yeah, that was disgusting.
She
better not go back to Orlando. She might not want to go anywhere in the South.
She better
may
just
not
leave
want to be
Florida.
Too many places in America right now. That's real.
Yeah, she needs to go somewhere like far off that doesn't like watch TV.
Where the hell
Nebraska
is
or something.
Africa?
Or like some little small town in Nebraska, you know, like.
And, hey, people.
That's where she needs to go.
It probably was in every newspaper in America that she got off. I guarantee it. It was the top story.
Oh, yeah.
Matter of fact, somebody brought out a good point. When Arnold Schwarzenegger cheated on his wife, that was the top story. Then Beaner, what his name? Beaner Wiener? The Wiener dude?
Wiener.
Yeah,
what his name is.
Yeah, he was the next top story. And all of a sudden, when this story broke, he ain't heard nothing else about Schwarzenegger or Wiener. Think about that.
Well, Schwarzenegger's wife, I did hear something about she filed for divorce. So she's getting ready to go on in.
Yeah, she's going
to
let him go, man.
Yeah, she's going to let him go.
Well, $400 million, that ain't a bad let go. She coming up.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right about that, man.
She didn't name him, though. I mean, she's a Kennedy. She has money. You know, it's not about that to her, probably. It's just
No. If you want to hurt somebody like that, you're going to take their bread. Because it ain't like he's going to do another Terminator and come up.
Right.
No time soon.
You know.
So.
I mean, it didn't offer all
that. You'll see an old people Terminator. You know, like Terminator the old people home or something like that. It'll come out.
Yeah, man, we got a great show planned this week, man. What's going on, Al? Let everybody know what we talking about today. And I know everybody going to be Joe Come Lately today. What?
It's all right. But today, people, we're talking about title of the day show. Who's your leader? And this show is aimed at who? Preachers, pastors, religious leaders at churches. This is what this show was designed for. We pretty much got this show from a conversation that we had with our other co-host on the show, Nick Eden, from another show that we were talking about this particular subject, and we wanted to break it down and actually explore some of the things that was brought up during this other particular show that we talked about this. But every church that you would attend asked this same passage question. I know the Baptist churches that I have visited, my home church, has said it. Other denomination churches that I've visited in the area, whatever, they've always used this one passage out of the Bible. Would a man rob God? You know, he who robbed me, rob him through what his tithes offer. But some church members overlook that some preachers are robbing. They're either robbing them monetarily or they're robbing them by giving them, false profit.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there are some of those preachers out there, they overwhelm you with their charisma and the way they preach the word out of the Bible so that they somewhat hypnotize you in believing that, they can't do no wrong. Now, the questions that we're going to actually explore today, due to me just identifying that and explaining that to you, is do we as followers lose sight that our pastors or preachers are only human? How much faith can and should you put into a man as far as a religious leader or a pastor of a church? And what happens when a religious leader make a mistake at church or in the church setting or outside the church and he is actually a leader of a church? Also, are there really are they really called by God, or are they positioning themselves for monetary gain, women, or notoriety? And why do some women in the church increase their support and following for the religious leaders when they know that they're wrong? Why do they do that? Why do they just go hard behind them and stick behind them when the evidence clearly states that they are guilty? Why do they still support them to that highest level? We're going to get into that. Let your voice be heard today. We definitely want to hear what you all have to say about today's topic. I know you all have a lot to say about this, but we definitely want to get into it. And, hey, if you're on the chat board, make sure you put your comments there. I want to give a shout out to everybody who's in the chat as far as Black Man 37 at Don Calypso. What's up, y'all? Everybody that's on the phone lines, we see y'all out there. Thanks for everybody listening. But we're going to go ahead and get into our first break of the day so we can go ahead and get into the subject at hand.
Man, we finna go way back. If you got any relatives that listen to that old school gospel music, we got something for you right here. We gonna go so far back right with this one right here. I'm telling you, it's about to go down. This song right here that I'm about to play is by the great Williams brothers. I ain't say the late great, but the great Williams brothers. This song is called Sweep Around Your Own Front Door Before You Try to Sweep Around Mine. I dedicate this to Aaron Creflo Dollar. All y'all, check this out. You listen to the Middleman Talk Show on Blog Talk Radio. Here we go, y'all.
You know, there are too many people trying to take care of other folks' business. And they can't even take care of their own. But what you need to do is take 6 months to mind your own business. And 6 months to leave other folks' business alone. All I'm trying to say is, sweep around your own front door before you try to sweep around mine. Sweep around your own front door before you try to sweep around mine. Now this is what you do. You smile in your neighbor's face and you talk about them behind their back. Y'all know you do that. But if you found out they were doing the same thing to you, you know you wouldn't like that. Well, tell me this. Who are we to judge what other people do? Take a look at yourself, you'll find some folks who sweep around your own door before you try to sweep around mine. Well, 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 you need to sweep around your own front door before you try to sweep around mine. Here's another thing, yo. You're always on the telephone putting down on someone else. Y'all know y'all do that. But you need to take a little time to stop, look in the mirror, and check yourself. And here's the reason why. Cause we all have sinned and come short of God's glory today. So we don't have time to spread your shame.
I wouldn't let it be said, I waited too late.
Clean it up.
Stop going around talking about your friends.
Clean it up.
Hey, don't you know
that that's a sin?
Clean it up.
How can you criticize someone else?
Clean it up.
When you are doing wrong yourself.
And that was, y'all know who that was, man. That was the
Williams Brothers.
Williams Brothers. Sweep around your own front door, man. I remember that video. They all had brooms in their hand.
Sweeping. Oh, yeah. Going around sweeping everything. Sweeping everything.
Yeah, everything goes, man. We want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Middleman Show today. We have a great show planned for you all. The title of today's subject, Who's Your Leader? We're pretty much talking about today's preachers who are false prophets, who are robbing their congregation, who are robbing God, you know, about what they're doing. Some of the things which we're going to talk about today, of course, we look at, you know, our preachers, you know, sometimes they have extraordinary charisma, and we look at them thinking that they cannot do no wrong. You know, we expect them to be model-type citizens, you know, because they are the ones who are actually, you know, influencing us to do better, you know, teaching us more about the Bible, you know, explaining a little more things, you know, about the Bible and putting it into context to where we can understand it. But we do have some out there that are like that. Now, do we as followers, do we lose sight that our pastors are only human? So that's the first question which we're going to get into today. Now, we have other questions that we're also going to dwell in, such as how much faith can and should you put into a man who is a religious leader, and what happens when they, meaning the religious leaders, make a mistake either within the church or outside the church. Are they really called by God, or are they positioning themselves for monetary gain, for women, and for notoriety? And why do some women in the church increase their support and following of these religious leaders when they know that they have done wrong? Let your voice be heard today. We definitely want to hear what you all have to say about this particular topic. But we want to go ahead on and get into the first part of the discussion of the day. Do we, as followers, lose sight on our pastors because they're only, you know, do we just lose sight on them, you know, as far as them being human, you know, thinking that they are perfect or they don't make any mistakes? Do we lose sight on that? I think we do.
Oh, yeah.
I think we do.
Man, you know, I wish Nick was here because he did have a different view or perspective on that. But me personally, and I know Jen would agree with me also, a lot of times, you know, people look at these guys as mythical people. Just like, I hate to say it in this facet, but think about a cult. How many people you know followed all those cultic people and ended up killing themselves because of what a man said? Doesn't make sense to me. And I think as far as realizing that they're human, you know, we ain't perfect. You know they ain't perfect. They say it was only one man that walked this earth that was perfect, and I think we forget that sometimes. I really do.
I think it's important to always be conscious of the fact that, you know, anyone in power is human, and that, you know, no one except God is, you know, unequal to us. We're all equal and all human on this earth. But I do think that when you take certain positions, you take on certain responsibilities, and you have to be conscious of that. And also, as a church member, you have to be conscious of your responsibility too, to that person, to hold them accountable for the promise that they made you and your church, and also to remember that, you know, they are not, well, except for in Catholicism, like, well, they have, they believe a little bit differently, but in my religion, I believe that, you know, anybody can go to God.
Mm-hmm.
Some religions believe that you have to have a go-in-between. And if you have if you do believe that, you know, you should really hold people in those positions, you know, even higher. But I myself believe that, you know, anyone could go to God if you want to. So no one is above anybody.
Very true. Very true. I agree. Man, if you're out there and you don't agree with us, hey, because you can call in 718-508-9972. But, I mean, shoot, you definitely got to hold these guys accountable. But, I mean, not just for the situations that just happened with all these pastors, with Creflo and Eddie Long. All the other ones before him, you know. I mean, dude, at the end of the day, these dudes are still human. Because, I mean, let's even take it to a whole nother lane. What if you got a pastor in your church and he ain't married? Follow me. He ain't married.
Right.
How do he supposed to hold himself up? Is he holier than thou not to date? Can he holler at the women in the church?
But
what he
able to
do and what he ain't able to do?
I'll say this. At a local church here, it's a very old church here. It's hundreds of years old. And so I think maybe 2 or 3 years ago, they got a new pastor, and he's young. He's someone from out. He's not from here, which is a first. You know, he's young, and I remember it being a big deal where someone saw him at a local bar, and I think this was like during a weekday, and he was having a beer with a colleague, and like people freaked out, and I was like, what about his job, you know, him being a messenger, you know, is he wrong? Is that bad? Because I personally think that it's okay if he went and had a beer in the open. I don't think that it made him less of a preacher because he had a beer.
Some people ain't hearing that, Gene.
Right.
Some
they ain't
trying
people,
to hear that.
Most definitely.
Yeah, it was a big reaction because I was like, why is he any different than me? You know, and it, because he's delivering a message, you know, of hope and faith, you know, where, you know, if you are a Christian, the Bible teaches us that you are the church. You know, you as a person, you are the church, and you fellowship together with other people to have strength and to have a community and people that believe as you believe, but you yourself is a church, not a person.
So what are your thoughts on it, Al? Because, I mean, you got a pastor that been at that church where you go to for a long time.
Now, see,
and what do you think,
you know, growing up as a child, I always thought that, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, speak negative about my pastor. I mean, he's a great guy, intelligent. I looked up to him. But as I got older and started paying attention to what some people were saying about, you know, that my pastor wasn't always this innocent, you know, I didn't understand that. I didn't believe it because to me it was like, you know, he was like the perfect gentleman, always dressed nice, spoke well, very intelligent, educated, you know, he worked hard. I mean, he greeted everybody in and out the door. I mean, he was very approachable. You know, that's what, you know, I looked at him as far as the being. Now, as far as the example that I was going to bring up since Dan was talking about this,
okay,
was Magic Don Juan.
Oh,
as him being a pimp, and now he is a preacher.
He back to the pimp.
No, he's still a pimp, too.
Yeah, he back to the pimp.
Well, all right. That's the problem. That's a problem. I mean, you know, it's like, come on now. It's like certain things you just don't do.
Me personally, man, I'm
just
looking at, okay, you say Don Juan. Who in their right mind, knowing that I'm not going to sit up here. I can't condemn anybody. I can't even begin to do that. But at the same time, maybe I'm wrong for saying a person's background, you know, kind of negate them from being what they going to be. But God use right. everybody, even the rock if you need to. I understand.
That's true. That's
but
true.
At the same time, if your pastor's stealing up with a gold suit on, with the gold things he used, green and gold for the, what is it, green and gold, green for the money and gold for the honey, your pastor's still saying that you still going to be sitting up in that church?
Packed now.
I'm trying to understand that, but that ain't no difference from Creflo Dollar, in my opinion. And if you're a member of World Changes, I do apologize, but I'm going to call it how I see it.
But it's a very religion, anytime you're dealing with God or religion, it's a very dangerous thing. Take, for instance, in the 1970s, Jim Jones. Where he had the New World Church, I forget what it's called or anything, but where he had these people who were dedicated, who loved him, who thought that he was a man of God, who followed him all the way to another country.
Right.
And ended up dead because, you know, he turned out to be a maniac. I think that you have to be very careful with religion because there is a thin line between insane and sanity and what's wrong and what's right, and I think you should always keep yourself in check and know that your personal relationship with God is very different from your worship relationship with God.
That's true. Now, even just from the standpoint of them being a human, though, Jen, you know, there's a human element to everybody. And my previous pastor that passed away, Reverend Carlos Douglas, you know what I'm saying, may he rest in peace, but I know of his history because he told us. He told us how he used to run the street. He told us how he used to get down out there. You know what I mean? And I respected him for that, you know. But at the same time, I saw the things that he did while he was walking with God and walking in God. You know what I'm saying? And it didn't contradict anything that I was, you know, was told for his previous past. And I realized that he was human, and I've seen him do some things that I was like, okay, you know, when I got older, I was like, okay, and it kind of shook me a little bit because, you know, I guess the longer you see a person walking in God, the more you hold them to that standard. I don't know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I do realize
because the Bible
that
holds people to that standard, Kevin. The Bible holds people. The Bible says that when you decide to lead people, when you become a shepherd,
mm-hmm.
that's a very important job. And you should take that seriously. I don't think that, you know, I don't think that they are higher up or closer to God, but I think you've taken on a very dangerous responsibility where you said to God, I'm willing to lead people to you. And when you let the devil or you let evil or outside influences deter from the main goal of leading people to God and I guess Christianity, if we're going to talk about Christianity, I think that it's very, very, very... You know, you should take that very seriously because I think you will be held to a different standard than me. I've never said to anybody, I know more or I can lead you or I don't want the job of shepherd. But people that take that job, you know, they are going to be held accountable if you lead someone astray.
Well,
and
I'm not
I think
a
you
scholar.
Should.
See, and I'm not a scholar, and I don't claim to be one. But at the same time, I understand they hold to a different standard, but as a man, as a human, you are opted to make mistakes. And just like in Christianity, you're supposed to believe that if you confess with your mouth and so forth, you know, you're going to be saved and you're going to be forgiven. So
I think that's true, but for a good shepherd, if you know that you can no longer lead your flock because you are lost yourself, a good shepherd would say, I can no longer be the shepherd. I am a part of the flock now because I am as lost as y'all. And someone else who has a better sense of direction,
mm-hmm.
maybe they should be the shepherd.
Well, isn't that the same as saying if a father's a head of a household and he make a mistake over, sorry about that, Al, but if he make a mistake over his household, should he tell his wife, hey, I made a mistake and I don't need to be in my household no more?
No, he needs to. Maybe you need to hold the reins and lead this ship for a little while, wife. Because we're a team.
Okay.
Because right now, I'm leading us down a bad path. I don't know how to. And that's any good leader. Any good leader knows when to say, you know what? I don't know right now. And that's part of being human. And a good leader, someone says, you know what? Because how can you focus on me? When, or how can you focus on what I'm saying, or how can you focus on where I'm trying to lead you when I have this big cloud over my head? It's distracting. It's not fair to you. It's not fair to other people. I can't
right.
lead right now. I'm going to have somebody else step in until I become better.
I can definitely agree with that, Jen, because, for one, doing something that is a greater mistake or something that is, you know, of a high level of, I guess you would say, that will bring your status down, and then try to continue to lead, you know, to me, that's a problem. You know, I mean, it just, I still don't know if, what's his name?
Eddie
Long did it or not, but he paid the money, you know. To me, by him paying them off, seems like he did it. To me,
there's a wonderful book. There's a wonderful book out. It's a very old book. It's by C.S. Lewis. He's the same guy who wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which is a religious book too. It's a children's story, but it is a religious book. But he wrote these series of books called The Screwtape Letters. I don't know if you're familiar with them. But these letters are letters from the devil to one of his, I guess, angels or workers, telling them how to infiltrate people to get them to come to the devil's side. And in one of the letters, they talk about churches, and you know, this is the devil's favorite place. And if, you know, like for Bishop Eddie Long, I can't listen to Bishop Eddie Long because the devil is distracting me every time he's talking, because I'm thinking the whole time, I wonder if he's screwing the choir boy. You know, I don't hear anything he's saying. Because, like, the only thing that I hear
right.
is
right.
or see and think in my mind
right.
is, you know, I bet he's screwing that choir boy.
Right.
You know,
right.
like,
and
because
see,
it's distracting. And
right.
his mistake becomes a tool of the devil to distract
right.
from the
right.
the main message of God. And I think that if he was a man of God, he would recognize that and step down and let someone else lead.
Now, that's what I was trying to get into. You know, as far as, I mean, if you have that type of weight over your head, I mean, to me, it's like, I mean, just like a preacher, you know, not really preaching. He's trying to get your money. You know, you have like 5 to 6 different tithing and offerings during one service.
So the message of God is camouflaged by your thoughts of this man is trying to rob me.
That's right. That's right. And see, we like a lot of people, you know, can't get over that. You know, say can't even get past that. You know, But then you have some people that just like, well, you know, I need to do this. This is what my pastor is telling me. This is what the Bible is telling me to do. I need to continue to do this so I will be blessed. You know, so that's where it comes in that, you know, is he, you know, really doing this to be doing this as far as like following the word? Or is he just doing this for his own personal gain? You know, in which we'll get into that later. But we also got to keep this in mind. Like the question said, you know, are we, you know, looking at them like, you know, like they're not human? You know, these people are human. You know, we are greedy to an extent. You know, if we can get to the point to where, you know, you got 500 members giving $500 every week, you know, that's $250,000 every week.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? So you're going to, I mean, it's going to get to the point to where, okay, well, I got this, I got 2 services. Maybe I need to have 3 services on Sunday so I can get some more money. Then I need to travel to another church so I can get some more money. You have preachers that do that. Now, are they doing it for the right cause? I hope so. Now, do we think some that are doing it for, you know what I'm saying, because they just want a little extra off the top? Maybe.
But let's twist it like this, though, Al. Just like the next part of the question that we're going to ask, how much faith should we put in a man? Or, you know, how much faith can we put in a man? Or should we put in a man? Now, what if this guy is doing a lot of things for the community? You see his
mm-hmm.
works within his actions. You see the great things that he's doing. Regardless of how much money he's bringing in, it's proof in the pudding. He's doing what he need to do. Now, how much faith should we put in that guy, even though over here, we notice he got a little baggage.
Well, I'm gonna give you the answer to that question. You should never put your faith in man, so I'll put your faith in God. That's
we
the answer
put
to that
our
question.
Faith in God, but that man is working through God. I mean, God is working
but
through that man.
But you trust the person? I have an
that's
example.
Right. There
I
you
go.
There you go, Tim.
I go to a Mega Million. I mean, a mega church.
You said it right.
I go to a mega church.
Yeah, yeah, Mega Millions. You're right.
It is a Mega Millions church where, you know, millions of dollars. There are people at my church that give tithes like, you know, $500,000 tithes. You know, like, our church is a multi-million-dollar church. However, do I trust my preacher? Yes, because he's very visible. The money end of our church is ran like a business. He does not touch the money. He has an outside company, an auditing company, accountants that come in and handle the business part. It's not church members. It's a business that handles the money. And every time you go, like on a Wednesday night, they give you a financial rundown, what's happening with the church's money. And I see the money in our community. I see the programs, the food kitchens. I see like the helping of poor people. There's a visibility. If I didn't see that visibility, I would have a problem.
Yeah, I can understand that, but like I was saying earlier, you see all the works in this man, and he may have some baggage on the side, just a little. From my understanding, Eddie done a lot for the community over there. You know what I'm saying? Over by Sonia. But at the same time, his brother got baggage. You know what I'm saying? It ain't nothing wrong. I'm going to tell you, trust and faith ain't too far off. Because, you know what I'm saying, you got to believe in somebody to have trust in them, right? And faith ain't nothing but to have a belief in something, right or wrong.
True.
So if you can't trust this person, you ain't got no belief in them. So, you know what I'm saying?
I am 100% sure. I don't attend Eddie Long's church, But I am 100% sure that this instance with these boys is not the first thing, that this is not the first time that this has happened. Something else
right.
has happened before, and this is what blew up. Them weren't the first boys that he probably had relationships with. It's probably a lot more. And, you know, no. And I say that if you are a Christian out there and you are a believer as I am, I believe in the Holy Spirit, and I believe the Holy
That's
Spirit
right.
tell you things.
That's
and
right.
when I seen that man on TV, I didn't trust him, and I said, I don't believe what he's saying because something told me that. So,
okay.
so I say as a Christian, you have to believe in the fundamentals of what Christianity teaches you, and that is to listen to the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure enough that wasn't the first time someone says, you know what, it's something not right about this man.
Well, let's go into the next part of the question. Let's go into the next part of that question. What happens when a religious leader, makes a mistake? What happens? What should we do? Should we condemn them? Because, I mean, the thing about a lot of times, people just, like, basically, man, we condemn it. Think about it. When we, man, oh, he need to step down. He ain't hitting on nothing no more. And, like, they can't make a comeback.
I
think
bad.
If a person makes a mistake, as they say, a man falls down 7 times. Think about it.
If you make a mistake that is so distracting, that causes so much attention, like I said before, I think that the devil can use it as a tool to distract from the common good goal of let's leading the people and leading your flock. I think you should step down because your mistake has now become a hindrance in your church.
That's right.
How can you listen to me
right.
and pay attention to me
right.
if the only thing that you are thinking about the whole time is the sin or the mistake that I've made? Go correct yourself, get yourself together, and then come back, because I just think that it's a door for the devil to use
right.
where you're no longer effective, and recognize
right.
that. As the person, a lot of preachers are so caught up in the glory. I'm the preacher. No, recognize that you are a man. You're able to fall, and right now, because
That's
of
right.
whatever you've done, you can't lead your flock.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And see, I'm gonna give you like an example of a church from our hometown. I'm not gonna identify the name of our hometown, but there was this one particular pastor. He was head of this nice church who just blossomed over the years, attendance increased. Some of the things that they were having at the churches were like very beneficial to the area. But this man, he was married. He was a married man. But the thing about this guy, even though he did all those things for the community, just like KC identified earlier, we have preachers that do a lot for the community. But this man committed adultery inside his own church. And he had, there were, women literally sitting, close by each other in the church that knew that he was having every last one of them. And his wife sat in the front row every Sunday. And she had to deal with that. So things of that nature, that is distracting. That is something where I feel like, in my own personal, opinion, you don't need to be the head of my church. You doing this trying to tell us that we should be doing stuff. You're trying to give us an example as far as how we need to improve ourselves, and you out there going against your word. You out there going
against
what the Bible says.
Even if he is telling you something good, Al, even if he is telling you something from the Lord, how can you even pay attention
right.
to it or concentrate on it? Because the whole
that's
time
right.
you're thinking in your head,
hey,
oh,
look,
I bet you he's screwing her, or he doing this,
yeah.
or did you? No,
hold
that's
on.
That's the
but
whole
right.
thing.
Look, either way it go. Sometimes, sometimes y'all really, I don't know if y'all really paying attention to this. But sometimes, man, God works in mysterious ways. I know there's some people out there that don't believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
I respect what you believe. But, man, I do believe in God. But sometimes I've noticed that God works through people that you wouldn't even expect to hear certain things from. And you never know.
That is true.
Might not even be that person saying things. You know what I'm saying?
That is true.
So a
that
lot of times, even if these guys are becoming, quote-unquote, distraction to the church, that don't mean that they still can't provide the work that God needs them to provide.
I do.
Yeah,
Kevin,
but you have to
Kevin,
understand that
Kevin,
maybe your
Kevin,
role
I,
has changed.
That's right, Kevin. I do understand that, but we have to understand the word and the true meaning of being a hypocrite. You can't do that. You cannot do that. I mean, you have young men at the church looking up to this guy. you know, young men who was calling this guy for advice, who wanted
right.
to beat this guy.
Right.
You can't do it.
But
you
see,
know,
I wasn't talking about
Eddie.
I'm not talking about Eddie in particular. There are countless numbers of preachers.
I'm not talking about Eddie in particular in general.
Yeah.
I'm talking about preachers in general that have done things like this, because you got Catholic preachers that were molesting, you know, little boys. You got other preachers that were having mistresses when they would, you know, go to other churches and go out of town.
And it's people that stop believing in God.
All that. Yeah.
It's people that stop believing in God, like especially with you know, when all that stuff happened with those Catholic preachers were molesting people. It's people that left God because they were so rocked by what these people have done. That's a very dangerous thing. And you, when you are, you know, religion is a very powerful thing, and someone who handles or doesn't respect that power has no right to be in that position.
That's right.
But just because you fail does not mean that your role hasn't changed. Look at Tammy Faye and Jim Baker. I don't know if anybody remembers them. That was like the beginning of the mega church. They were one of the, like, they're like the granddaddy of the mega church. They had an amusement park. Y'all remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
They had an amusement park, Jesus Land. I mean, like, they had everything, and they failed. But in their later life, their role in how God used them was, you know, on a different level. You know, it wasn't as a preacher. It was more one-on-one and reaching out to people and having their fall as a testimony to their life and a testimony to other people and to other preachers and stuff. So I think that you have to recognize that God can use you in so many ways, and you don't have to be drunk with power to just want to be the preacher. If you fail for whatever reason, maybe God is telling you, well, this is not the path for you, that maybe you need to take another path, and so I can use you down that road. But don't be selfish with my, you know, with my faith and my learning, because you want this glorification of the role of preacher. That's not fair and it's not right.
Now, it's still, y'all still ain't answering my question, though. I was asking y'all. I mean, you may have, but maybe I'm not getting the full, you know, full satisfaction of what I wanted to hear. But, hey, I was asking, what should we do and what happens when these people fall? I mean, should we give them a second chance? Should we let them come back?
I think it depends on the situation and the gravity of what they've done. If you go out and you molest somebody, yeah, you need to step down. If you maybe, you know, mishandled the books and some of the money got confused and, you know, y'all straightened it out, maybe y'all church members can work it out. Maybe you can stay. But I think it depends on the situation, and I think some people know. You know, as a person, and you know if you are a preacher and a member of that church, if you say, when it's time for that person to go.
Yeah,
and
I think it's just different every situation.
Everything.
Right.
I don't think it's like a standard thing. When whatever you done was so big enough that it's recognized by the whole church and it starts to be an ongoing situation, then it's time to evaluate whether you're effective in your role or not.
Well, you know, I still do believe that people make mistakes, and I understand what you're saying, that they need to step down. You know what I'm saying? I definitely can appreciate that comment, but I still say we are human. We're going to make mistakes, and I think if a person is able to rekindle that passion and that love that they have for what they did for God, you should give them another chance. And I don't want to be the one to condemn anybody, because I don't have a heaven or a hell. I think as humans, that's what we do first. We will condemn those that we feel ain't right in our eyes. That's how I feel about it.
But see, now church has become so much like a lot of churches, like entertainment. You know, like where people, you know, it's a thin line between being entertained and being taught.
That's not entertainment.
Right.
Come on, son.
It shouldn't be entertaining.
It's about guiding people right down the right path of what they need to do for their best benefit on this little time that we call life.
And so when you become so distracting where no one even is listening to you, they have just came to see you and to
it's over with.
Yeah, it's over with, to bask in whatever. I mean, you become entertainment, because if I go to Bishop Eddie Long Church, I just want to see how he look up close, because I want to see, do he really look gay? Does he look like he's looking at the person? Yeah, I'm keeping it 100, and everybody that's sitting in there thinking it too. You can sit there and pretend like y'all not, but y'all thinking it too.
That's so right. You go to World Changes and look at them and see if Creflo really look like a pimp.
Yeah. And they want to see his cars and all that too. That's what y'all doing.
That is so wrong.
They probably passed a note.
Hold on, we got a caller that want to
get into this conversation right
here.
Hold on, caller
678-497.
You're live on the Middleman Talk Show. What's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas? This Dame, man. How y'all living?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
What's going on with
you, man? Trying to make it, man. Trying to survive this thing, man. Called life, dog.
Yes, sir. I understand that. You got a comment on what you're talking about, brother?
Go ahead.
I was saying, you got a comment?
Yeah, man. Like, church is one of the church is a very good thing, man. But it's become so commercialized these days. Like, when you start seeing churches with billboards and things of that nature, do you know how much it costs per month to have a billboard?
Right.
They're advertising just like any other business to bring more people into the church. More people into the church means more money. More money means you can ultimately get to the Creflo Dollar level, or the Eddie Long Stroke, as I like to call him, with his recent scandal thing. No grown man should send another grown man a picture of himself in a muscle shirt, dog. I'm sorry. We can be related and all that. Like,
thank
dog,
you.
Don't do it.
But, that's true.
I was listening to some of the other comments earlier. Like, as far as forgiveness, I believe as a pastor, you should be held to a higher standard if you're able to lead that flock. Even though the pastor is human and we all err.
Right.
But, I mean, he should be forgiven, but he should ultimately step down, because that shows, you know, him making mistakes like that shows that he's just as human and is able to sin just like the rest of us. I mean...
But doesn't that mean, Dane, even... You just answered that to yourself. I mean, you really kind of answered that. He is human. When he got that position, he is human. And as you said, to human is to err. And to err is human.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, but
so
to forgive is to be divine. But
exactly, you know what
he should
even
be
if
held
he got that
to
position,
a higher standard, because, I mean, I've seen some people listen to their pastor as if, I mean, they put them on some pedestal. Pastor said this.
Right.
Pastor said that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I went to school with one of my high school friends, man. He used to cut me and my buddy's hair. I asked him to cut my hair one day. He told me he can't do it. All of a sudden, he got really religious. And
oh, God. What are you talking about?
Like,
he can't cut on
Sunday. Why can't you cut my hair? He said he was going to wax his pastor's Jeep. And I'm like, what? That's not a necessity. He said his pastor was going out of town and all this. And by all means, I mean, as Christians or as people of faith, whatever your faith may be, help each other. You know, by doing things for each other. But, dog, I'm not waxing your Jeep. And I'm not about to put no man above myself. We all bleed. We all sin. Yeah, you think that even that pastor, when he go to home to his wife, he thinking dirty thoughts to get his self right to be able to, you know, get it on with his wife. And
yeah,
like
I mean,
that.
But
he's
still supposed to think them thoughts because that is his wife, so therefore he ain't wrong in that. There ain't no sin to think that when you're thinking about your wife.
He ain't wrong with your wife. That's not wrong.
But, I don't know, but sex always has an element of lust in it, and they
but
say
you're
lust
supposed to lust after your wife, real talk.
So it's a double-edged sword because yeah, I mean that's his wife. They legit in doing the act, but there got to be some lust that's also going on inside that head to get right. You know, I mean, hey, dog, I'm sorry.
But
you know.
I think one thing that I think what he's trying to say is like if I was. I can't be a pilot because I don't know how to fly a plane. But if you got in my plane and I said that I was a pilot, you're trusting me that I really know how to fly and I know where I'm going. And if I no longer can't do that, then I don't need to be the pilot anymore.
Well, as I will say again, you know, when that guy got the job, y'all already know what you was getting when he came to the job.
No, you expect that person to be a leader because when you hired that person, if I hired you for a pilot, I already think that you could fly, that you know where you're going. I already think that. Now,
well,
if I didn't know that, it's
a
different story.
As a person,
you got to go.
As a sheep sitting in the flock, yes, you're supposed to think that
your person is supposed to be able to guide you through the valley and away from the wolves and all that like that. But at the same time, he wasn't born like that. He had to learn how to do it. And at the same time, learning how to do it, you make mistakes. Just like going on your job. See, and I'm going to tell you straight up, y'all talking about he should have been X, Y,
Z. Hold on now.
If you a thief, but when you got your job, when you was a thief before you got your job, you a thief while you got your job. You may choose not to steal. You know what I'm saying?
But if you dressed up like you wasn't a thief and you told us that...
You know what I'm saying?
But if we believe that you weren't a thief and we didn't know that and now we find that out, it's time for you to go.
Well, hey, it is what it is.
It's like a political decision. It's more of a business decision. It just looks better if you step on down. Just like that, the recent Wiener scandal thing. Whatever scandal he got into, they were saying that it just looks better in the public eye. You're a public figure. You can't just do whatever you want and just get away with it, but at the same time try to tell so-and-so you can't do this and you can't do
that.
Right. Dog, you just got convicted of it. And you're telling me what I can't do, dog, you need to step down.
Because people in those particular roles forget one thing. They forget that they are what? Role model. Other people look at them, look up to them. And then like you said earlier, you know, that they take advantage of that, you know, those certain privileges that they think that they have, but those certain privileges that they think that they have gets them in trouble. But now they be free. Stealing money out of church, having sex with little boys, you know, committing adultery inside the church, you need to be removed from the pulpit. If you don't want to be removed, you will be removed by force out of the pulpit. You need to get up out of there, man.
Now, I want all the listeners to understand this, too. My argument today is for sake of argument. And some of these things, I'm just, you know, for sake of conversation also, because I don't truly believe some of the things I'm coming at y'all with. But, you know, there's always two sides to every story.
Always.
Three sides to every story. Yours, theirs, and the truth. So, you know, you always got to be aware of that, you know, it ain't always just this way because this is the way, you know, just like with the Casey Anthony situation. Oh, we ain't going to go there. But, you know what I'm saying? But what we're going to do right now, Dave, we're going to put you on hold right quick, and everybody that's joining in, we are talking about who's your leader. We're about to take a quick break right here, and once we get finished from this break, Al, let them know what we got going on.
After the break, we're going to get into the second part of the discussion. Now, we're going to get into these particular questions as far as, you know, are they really being called by God, or are they positioning themselves for money, women, and notoriety? And we also want to ask the last question of the day. Why do some women in the church increase their support and following for some religious leaders when they know they're wrong or they know they're doing wrong? Why do they continue to go hard behind them and push them and support them and you know, just keep trying to tell people that they ain't did nothing wrong? Because they is guilty all over your face, blood on your hands, all that. So, going to get into this break, man. We'll get back into it. Soon as the middle of the talk show. Let's kick it, dude.
Hey, Dane, you can hold on. You ain't got to hang up. We're just going to put you on hold, all right?
I got you, dog.
All right. All right, y'all, the second record that we're going to get on to this break right here, it is the B-I-B-L-E. If you a Wu-Tang fan, you know this record right here. And also, I forgot the other cat that did this record before, but it's called Bible. And it's by a man, Jizza, from the Wu. Y'all check out what this brother's saying in this record, all right? It's the Middleman Talk Show, Blog Talk Radio. Y'all check this out.
I loved doing right, but I was trapped in hell. Had mad ideas, sad eyes and tears. Years of fears, but yo, my foes couldn't bear. I searched for the truth since my youth, and went to church since birth. But it wasn't worth the loot that I was paying, plus the praying.
mic stand cause of busy bodies and busy hotties. That's a preacher that's souped up the lies. Have him cooped up looking at loose butts and thighs. Doing the service, he swallowed up the poor. And after they heard this, they wallowed on the floor. But I ignored and explored my history that was untold. And watched mysteries unfold. And dropped a jewel like Solomon, but never follow men. Cause if you do, your brain is more hollow than space oblivia, or the abyss. With no trace of trivia, left with the hints. Does it pay to be deaf, dumb, blind? From a slave, he was kept from the mind. And from the cage, he crept from behind. And what he gave was a sect of the swine. When the Bible, it condemns the pig. I don't mean to pull your hems or flip your wig. But we used to wear a turban, but now we're in the urban. No more wearing beanies or dressed like a genie. No hope is focused, cause I focus on the facts. And put it on the tracks and board it through the wax. I speak on Jacob, it might take up some time. And too much knowledge, it might break up the rhyme. I did it anyway just to wake up the mind of those who kiss stones of praise on the carpet. Those who sit home and sell books by the market need to chill and get their mind revived. For years, religion did nothing but divide the basic instructions before leaving Earth. Life is a test, let me quest the universe. And through my research, I felt the Juliana hurt. The first should be last and the last should be first. The basic instructions before leaving Earth. Life is a test, let me quest the universe. And through my research, I felt the Juliana hurt. The first should be last and the last should be first. The basic instructions before leaving Earth. I stroll through the books of Job to unfold and open Bibles instead of hoping on revivals. Screaming hallelujah, running hallelujah. That's how the devil fooled ya. See, looking through my eyes, reverend. That's the lies of a reverend. Why should you die to go to heaven? The earth is already in space. The Bible I embrace. A difficult task I had to take. I studied through my eyes were swollen. And only a rose went. I found out that we were the chosen. I deal with the truth and deal with the youth. And teach my son as he kneels on the stoop. Son, life is a pool of sin, corrupted with foolish men and women with wicked minds who build picket signs to legalize abortion, the evil eye extortion. I quit, son, with my wisdom. Before I converted, I was perverted, and knowledge was asserted. The study of wisdom, I preferred it. The understanding, it gave me mental freedom. I even learned Caucasian, but really, the tribe of Edom. The white image of Christ is really Caesar, born here. Anda, the second son of Pope Alexander, the sixth of Rome. And once the picture was shown, that's how the devil tricked my dome. I prophesied to save a man, but no one gave a damn. From my nation, the seed of Abraham. Blessed with the tongue of Hebrew. Now we strung on needles, and some are plunging evil. To study and be wise in these days of darkness. Peace to my nephew Marcus. The basic instructions and stories of earth. Life is a test, maybe quest the universe. And through my research, I thought the Juliana heard. The first should be last, and the last should be first.
All right, and that was Genesis from the Wu-Tang, man, Bible. Basic instruction before leaving Earth. And you're now tuning into the Middlemen Talk Show. This is Al, Kevin, and Jen, and we're back live. We had a great discussion on our first half of the show. The title of the show, Who's Your Leader? We want to thank everybody for continuing to tune in with us every Sunday, every Thursday, for Middlemen Talk Show. But things in which we discussed on the first half of the show, as far as do we as followers lose sight that our pastors are only human, and how much faith should put into or can't put into a man who is a religious leader? And also, what happens when our religious leaders make a mistake? What should we do? Or what should the church do? So we discussed that. Now, we're going to get into the second part of the discussion. You can always go back and re-listen to our shows at www.blogtalkradio.com/TheMiddleman. Just click on the show. You can re-listen to the whole show again. They're archived. Download them. And if you have iTunes on your phone, you can definitely download them through iTunes as well, too, for free. But also, we're going to get into the second half of this particular discussion. The question which we're going to pose first, are they really called by God? You know how, you know, as far as African-American preachers, you know, we feel like, they say that they are called by God. Or are they positioning themselves for monetary gain, for women, or for notoriety? Now, the second half of the question is a little touchy. We do have some out there who are, you know, not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Now, do I feel like, you know, some preachers are really called by God? Yes. Because you have some really genuinely, truly good, you know, wholesome guys out there that are really into the Word, into the Bible, you know, into God, and are really into actually presenting what God wants to project through them to his congregation or her congregation. Now, we got a lot of those out of there. Now, we do have some people who we know and who we have seen over the past years who were false prophets, you know, positioning themselves, you know, to gain notoriety, you know, for money or, you know, women, personal gain, you know, things of greediness. You know, we do have, and we've seen that. You know, we've seen that throughout history. We've seen it on the news. I mean, it's still people out there today. Their time hasn't come yet. But are they really called by God?
Man, you know, the perfect person for that, and I hate to just put this brother out there like that, man, Pastor Mace.
Oh, my God.
What was that all about?
I'm going to give you my, you know, my own personal opinion about Mace because, you know, I was a Mace fan as a, you know, a high schooler.
Yeah,
I'm not even going to lie about it. I'm not even going to lie about it. Chill out, man. Let me get it out.
Take that.
Get it out. All right. Now, I was a Mace fan growing up. Now, when he went and said he was going to go to church and, you know, he was going to give his life to the Lord and change his life, I was supportive of that, 100%. But then when he came back to rap, I was like, come on, Mace, man. I mean, it's straight. You know, like the CD that he put out when he came back, it was okay. It wasn't, you know, anything that I felt that was inappropriate because, you know, Reverend Run was still rap and still doing, you know, rap music. So
yeah, but it wasn't on the level of Mace
okay.
coming back. I'm going to kill you and all this. You a nigga.
No,
I got holes
that,
in the
that,
dirt.
That was the second time.
Hold on.
That was the second time he came back and did that. That's when he got with 50 Cent and started talking that crap. That's when I started losing my support of Mace. If, like, those times that I went out to, you know, Atlanta to visit my aunt, if I would have ran across Mason Bethel, man, he would have been brawling in the street. Because, you know, I was trying to let him know, like, Mace, what are you doing? You know, you can't do that. And then, like,
hey, I can't have that kind of faith in man. We just said that.
I understand that. I do. But for you to have a position of that magnitude, you know, be over a church, influencing the youth, because that's who he influenced the most, who he attracted to his church, was the youth.
Right.
You know, he got a lot of people, you know, a lot of youth going to church, into church, wanting to be involved with church more during the week. He did that.
But you
he
know
did
what, man?
That this is not like... This isn't a job. This is people's soul. This is something that
that's
people
right.
take very seriously. This is not
that's right.
something that's just like, you know, that you can replace. Or you can create situations like Jim Jones, where he led all them people to Ghana and they killed themselves for him and died for nothing because they believed that this person was a messenger from God. And that's something that people should take very seriously.
Well, you know, me personally, I got a couple of partners that converted themselves over, and they doing, you know, they're in the pulpit right now. And, you know, I've seen their struggles, and I think they're very genuine for what they say.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But there are people out there that will make you feel like, you know, they ain't going to do right because you got your Mason, you got all these other guys that looking
right.
at the monetary gain and the women. A lot of people don't realize the church is a multi-million-dollar business. Multi-million-dollar business. And also, you got a lot of people that would be attracted for the wrong reasons.
That's right.
Now, that's between them and God. That ain't got nothing to do with me.
Yep.
I ain't going to judge them. But like
that's
I said, like
right.
Dan was saying, you
right.
got a lot of guys that could do a lot of great things if they were led to have that opportunity. You know what I'm saying? if they had the opportunity to get out there and speak to the youth and transform people's way of thinking. But you
mm-hmm.
got those that, man, they don't care. They don't care about nothing. They want to ride in that Bentley like Creflo. And, you know, am I wrong for saying this brother shouldn't have all these things? If you don't agree with me, go ahead
and
call me.
I think that a lot of people start out with, it was Voltaire that says, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I think that people don't start out with, you know, the intention of being a bad preacher or taking advantage of people. Not all of them, but I think the devil is very powerful and has been on this earth for millions of years, and a lot of people get sucked in and they go astray. And it's just to be able to say, you know what, I made a mistake, I went astray, I can no longer be the leader, is big of you. Look at Malcolm X. When Malcolm X had so much faith in Elijah Muhammad that finding out Elijah Muhammad was an adulterer and somebody who was laying up with these young women and getting all this stuff, it shook his faith. Shook his faith so strongly that he left the Nation of Islam. I think the Nation of Islam was and still is a very powerful entity and a very positive organization. However, I think that with power becomes responsibility, and a lot of people can't handle that responsibility. It's going to become women and money and all kind, and it takes a very strong person to turn that stuff down and to turn the other cheek, and not everyone can do that.
Hey, we do have a caller that would like to get into this conversation. I see they just dropped out, but if you want to get back in, caller, just press that number one, and you can get back in. But, man, it's kind of hard to say, and I'm not one of the ones that can sit up here and say I can tell if a person is called by God, because even if God called me, a lot of times, you know, we so doggone caught up with our lives, we ain't listening.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So what is it really to be called by God to do the work of God? And you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Is it so bad that we got so many people doing so much wrong that we really look blindly towards the ones that are doing the right as far as being called by God? Because you hear it all the time. Hey, God called me to come over here and do this. Or some people just act it out and their actions show more so than that. Then you got those that, man, they out there, you know, they with the fly suits on, the fly car, they slick. You know what I'm saying? I know some preachers that talk real fast, and y'all know what I mean.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You know what I'm saying? So how do we determine if these people are really called by God? Is it the actions, or is it, you know what I'm saying, is it a feeling like we all get caught up?
Your own faith in God will tell you. I am a firm believer that God has not whispered in my ear about anybody else but me. And if it's not for me, if this church or this thing is not for me, God will reveal it to my own heart. People have faith in your own personal relationship with the Lord, and he will tell you where to go.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Now, you know, one thing I want to add to that as well, too, you know, everybody interprets the Bible different. You know, we go to church, you know, to rejoice and have therapy. You know, it's pretty much what church is. It's like a therapy session, you know, to help you resolve some of your issues. Now, we do have people that are out there that are good advice givers, you know, through the Word of God. Give great advice. You know, they project it well. You know, their sermons are very great. But you can definitely weed some of those out, you know, because everybody has been in a particular church service where the pastor wasn't talking about nothing.
Yeah,
waiting to get that, pooping and hollering about nothing.
Or confused. I've been in church before and then got confused. Like, what are we talking about? You don't jump from A to B to Noah.
I ain't even trying to put these people on blast, but a little church not too far from me that we visit, man, and you can tell the pastor, like, he forgot his little sermon. He got to go back and look at his book trying to figure out what he's trying to say. And I ain't knocking him because everybody get up there and they ain't able to be a public speaker right off. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And the message may not have conveyed to us the way he wanted it to. But, right, then you got a lot of guys out there that, you know, I've seen people that, just because their friend has truly been called and they truly doing the work, they feel like, hey, God called me too, so I want to get up in there and do that too. It's monkey see, monkey do sometimes.
And it's up to you. We had someone at our church. It was during the Barack Obama campaign, and they started to pray about Sarah Palin being president, and I got up and walked out. I was, you know, we as a people have to take responsibility of what goes into our own ears and what we accept. And if you don't accept it, and I don't think that you're doing or leading me right or telling me right, I'm not going to be a part of it, and I'm going to walk out.
If you would like to make a comment on anything that we talked about today, the number to dial is 718-508-9972. The phone lines are open. Once again, to that caller a little bit early, I see you still on. Just press that number one, and we'll get right back to you. But before we get too far off into that, man, let's go into this last one. Because we can recap a couple of things before we get out of here. Because our great friend Eden to give us a talk of the town today. So, hey, y'all, it's all right. It's all right. But let's go ahead and get in that last question, Al.
Now, the last question. Why do some women, not all, keyword, some, why do some women in the church increase their support and following for religious leaders when they know that they are in the wrong? Like, you have those avid supporters, those ones that sit on the moaning bench, you know, the right side of the choir, you know, to the left of the pulpit, wearing
the
all the big hats.
Wow.
Yeah. Those, you know, why do they continue to, you know, it's okay to give people chance and chance and chances. It's okay. But when you do things of a high level of consequence type magnitude, you know, such as, you know, stealing money out of church, committing adultery, raping little boys, you know,
sleeping with other
people's
wives.
All that.
You said that, yeah, you said that, yeah.
Yeah, all that, you know, or your church is falling through as far as like the roof and all that, and you're driving the Bentley outside.
No, man, I'm finna go in. I'm gonna tell you, I'm taking this right here from Nick Eaton. Nick Eaton said a lot of these women are replacing that man that they don't have in their life with that pastor. That's why they do it.
Here we go. That's it.
They ain't got no man, so they looking at that pastor and they gonna defend their man. That's what that pastor is to them. That's they, you know, that ain't their husband, but that's their husband. You follow me?
Right.
Or a lot of people make them idols, like a superstar. You know how lust after a
superstar. I guarantee you that's the reason why a lot of them be fighting outside the church. You've seen many a clips of women fighting out. Let you say something wrong about that preacher, you're gonna catch a right cross.
Don't be
just
talking
like
about
what
my
Dan
pastor
was saying earlier. Not my pastor. Not my pastor. How many times have you heard that? It ain't got no woman. And then on top of that, you got a lot of pastors facilitating it. We're not downing pastors today because there are some great men out there doing great, men and women, that are doing great work for God, for the God out. Well, God, I'm saying, what the hell am I saying? But for God out there. But you got those that, I mean, no matter what you say, what that man do, what that man
he
got
can't do
into,
no wrong.
He ain't
no
did
wrong.
No wrong under God's green earth.
That's right.
And what are you thinking if you believe that? What do y'all think about people that honestly think like that?
I think that they need to reevaluate their own faith, because are you worshiping God or that person?
But we ain't
they
talking about
the
worshiping God. They looking at that man like, this man could be my husband. It's like we talked about the pastor. That
well, that has
have
nothing to do with church. Them lusting after, that's worse.
Right, they are hypnotized, you know, by this person's charisma, you know, this the way he projects his sermons, how he dresses, how he walks, how he carries himself.
And you have some women that are what, fascinated by power. They looking at the power that he wields. They looking at how he can make things happen in a snap of a finger.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Women love power. Am I wrong, Jen?
No, you're very right.
And they look at that man up there in that pulpit as what? The ultimate power in their capability of life where they at right there.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So, when we got women like that, what do they really fall in the line of helping the church out?
They lost. And their problem is a lot bigger than the preacher. Now, you have some preachers that take advantage of women like that and take advantage of that, you know, these women are looking at them in a rock star kind of status. But a good preacher will keep on preaching and know that he's the messenger and he's not responsible for somebody's infatuation. And then if it gets too bad, he will address it. But I think that those people need to evaluate themselves, because their problem is a whole lot bigger than the preacher. Their problem is, you know, you're lost.
Yeah. And that goes back to the question, who is your leader? And I ain't asking who is your leader, but who's your leader, really? Who are you really following, that man or God? Who are you following, that man or God? We all, as Dane said, we all heir to be him.
Yep.
So definitely, I think everybody at one point in their life, no matter how young or how old you are, you really need to evaluate, which I try my best to do when I do go to church, evaluate what I'm listening to. Like you said, Jen, you got to be careful of what goes into your ear.
Our preacher talks about all the time, like, your eyes and your ears, they are portholes to your soul. So, you know, it's very important to be careful about what you look at, what you see, and what you come into your system.
No disrespect to your pastor, Jen, but he making sure y'all know what's going into y'all soul. He got a 50-inch TV, Jen. He got a TV.
Yeah, because the church is so big. It's 3,000 people that you can't see.
I'm just saying.
It's 3,000 people in the service you can't see. You have to be able to see.
But I'm just saying, though. It's screen TV.
Jen,
I mean, if I was
going to your church, it's like, going to Jen church is like going to like a Usher concert, man.
No, it's not. You know what? Anybody, I will say this, because, you know, I will admit that I scrutinize a lot of things, but anybody that, if you are in Georgia and you are in the North Georgia area on a Sunday, please contact Jennifer, and you are welcome to come to Free Chapel with Pastor Jensen Franklin.
Hold on, let me try to put a bill on you.
Free Chapel with Pastor Jensen Franklin, with me, who I think is a very wonderful preacher.
Free Chapel. How many tithes and offerings y'all have? This is Free Chapel.
One. Just one.
Oh, man, they got 500,000 members, dude. They only got to do one doggone tithe. Did you hear her earlier when she said they give $500,000 tithe? What turns you no brother's family?
It's a rich people. We can't help if it's a millionaires that go to our church. Millionaires that go to our church. We can't help that.
I'm just saying, though, man. You're balling like that.
I'm saying they got to pay for
these summer trips, dog.
I'm gonna have to park my truck across the street, man, because I can't compete with these Benz's and Bentleys.
There's a charter bus that will take you to the front door, so you don't have to worry about that at all.
Wow.
Mega churches. Oh my God. Wow. Hey, is your pastor cool with Creflo Dollar?
No. I tell you who is cool. Who my pastor is cool? T.D. Jakes. I love T.D. Jakes. Our pastor is cool with T.D. Jakes. And I don't care if anybody say something about him. I watch him on TV all the time. I love Joel Osteen. So anybody got a problem with Joel Osteen? Joel Osteen is the truth.
Joel Osteen is one of those. Joel Osteen only preaches a prosperity preacher. No, everything is good. Everything is wonderful. Just smile. And life
Sometimes I need to hear that. See, when I need my spirit lifted, I listen to Joel. Because sometimes I just need to know everything going to be all right.
Yeah, he smiles, showing up like that cat on Alice in Wonderland to let you know it's going to be all right.
Come on, y'all. Get off of Joel.
Just saying.
Here we go.
I'm just saying. But let everybody know what we talked about thus far, Al.
Well, today, people, the title of today's show, Who is Your Leader? And today we were discussing preachers. Are they robbers or false prophets? You know, sometimes people, you know, we get so overwhelmed with their charisma and the way a preacher preaches the word of the Bible that some of the attendees and the members become hypnotized into believing that their preacher can do no wrong. Now, every church has to use this phrase, you know, during tithes and offerings. Would a man rob God? That's the same thing. You're doing false prophecy, you're robbing, you know, your members of their knowledge of the faith. You know, if you're laundering money. I was trying to figure out another way to say it, you know, where it wouldn't be so.
Man, California,
that, you know, yeah, you know, I was trying to, you know, be appropriate, but
no.
You're robbing them. You're robbing your church, you're robbing God, you know, the temple. So some of the things in which we discuss today, do we as followers lose sight that our pastors are only human, that they do make mistakes, that they can make mistakes and will make mistakes? We also discuss how much faith can you put or should you put in a religious leader. And also we discuss, you know, what happens when they make a mistake. You know, should we, you know, rule them out? Should we tell them to step down, or should we just continue to give them chances, or look at them as if that, you know, that they're human and they make mistakes and we're just going to continue to keep pushing? Also, we discuss, are they really called by God, you know, or are they positioning themselves for monetary gain, women, and notoriety? And also the last thing in which we discussed briefly today was about, why do some women in the church increase their support and following for their religious leaders when they know that they are in the wrong? Every church has experienced that. No church cannot say that they have not experienced that. So if you want to go back and re-listen to the full show to actually hear what we discussed about the whole show, just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/TheMiddleMan. If you're on Facebook, add the Middleman Talk Show, hit the like button. Type in The Middleman Talk Show and hit the like button. Go on our page. Add me and Jen and Kevin and Nick, you know, as friends. You know, hopefully, you know, your profile picture won't look so scary that we won't, you know, accept your friend request. But, you know, add us. We good people, man. You know, we friendly people. You know what I'm saying? We want y'all to follow our show and continue to listen to what we got going on and what we got to say. Make sure y'all tune in this Thursday for Talk of the Town at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We start at 8 o'clock, not 8:05, not 8:10. We start on white people time, not color people time.
Hey, did everybody know the difference between East and Central? Oh, my God.
East and Central, man. You know, you got the timeline grids across the whole globe. You know what I'm saying? Eastern time. If you live in the Atlanta, Georgia area, on up to New York, you're in the Eastern time zone. Okay? If you live in Alabama to Texas, all the way up, you know, up to Illinois and, you know, Minnesota, all them states right there, you're in the Central.
Yes.
Which is an hour ahead or an hour behind. So make sure you pay attention. If you read the Facebook, you know, memos
posting,
that we sent,
yeah, posting,
we do put 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern, or 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Please pay attention to that, people. You know, we know we have a lot of people that call in, you know, late.
Right.
You know, they call in. Yeah, it's cool, though. It's straight.
Hey, but you know what, man? Before we get too far off, man, let's give Nick Eaton a shout-out, man, for being, I don't know if he wanted to tell everybody this, but.
Well, We're going to wait. We're going to let Nick do it.
Just know that there is a big announcement coming.
Yeah, big exciting news. And also, I mean, I want to give a shout-out to one of my classmates, Chris Jones, man, and with the Never Give Up Foundation over in Kansas City, Missouri. He got in contact with me today, man. We got some big things possibly going on with those guys. And that's the Never Give Up Foundation, NGU. He partnered up with the 100 Black Men of Kansas City. So we got some things we're going to be putting up pretty soon with these people. And, hey, look out, man. We steadily growing over here. We always letting y'all know that. We appreciate everybody for taking the time to tune in with us every Sunday. We appreciate that.
That's right.
Love you for that. Thank you.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? We didn't get a chance to get down on Nick today because, what y'all think Nick doing, man? Y'all think he's somewhere in a bubble bath singing some Barry White?
Hey, chill out, man.
It could be a possibility.
You know what I'm saying?
Nick,
see
over
what his toes up in the water, up there soaked.
Doobie doobie doo.
Okay. Doobie doobie doo. The hell is that all about?
Sipping on some wine, man.
Hey, but this Thursday, we got another show coming up, the Talk of the Town with Nick Eaton. We haven't had the opportunity to put up the show yet. But y'all make sure y'all tune in for that show right there. Shout out to our man, Felt 5. Did I say that right?
Felt 5. That's right, man. That's
Felt
right,
five.
Man.
Shout out to Felt 5, you know what I'm saying, and all our people out there that support us. Shout out to everybody in Memphis. Shout out to everybody over in Kansas and all these other area codes I don't know.
Shout out to Dame for tuning in today.
Dame.
We miss you, Dame.
Yes, sir.
great, great to hear from Dane today. And one up, one down, y'all. Y'all ready for next Sunday? We're going to have another high impact show. Hopefully, we'll get it up a little bit sooner so you guys can tell a friend.
Eat what you cooking, man. I'm hungry.
Some fried chicken, some greens, some macaroni and cheese.
I need to be coming through there.
Can't help you.
I need a plate. I hope y'all got some Kool-Aid, but I know y'all don't.
No.
It's right.
No. You can't. No sugar. We got Kool-Aid, but no sugar.
Mm-mm. Bad combination.
Yeah. Yeah. All
right.
There you go.
Bad.
Well, have a blessed week, everyone just listening out there.
The middleman shouted, Big Crit shouted. Yeah. Now, I ain't sure what you was tuning in to. We'll pay attention to the real talk. What we here for, so take a listen time out. Take a minute. Shout in and learn some. Put your mind to grind the world. You destined to earn some. Linda, yeah. Comment on what you hear. Let's figure out that master plan to put this thing in gear. Don't matter if you hood or you corporate. Don't get you got a will to do way better than you were doing. Well, then you fortunate. Take a stand. Stop complaining about what you ain't got. Hating on the next man because he was dying to wreck shop. Every Sunday, tune in. Go live 6 p.m. blogtalkradio.com. The middle me. Hey. What's happening, the middleman? Hey, what's happening, the middleman? Hey, what's happening? BlogTalkRadio.com, the middleman.
You know what, Dom?
What up?
Nick wanna not be on the show today, and he's probably listening on somebody else's phone. If he doing that, you know what, Nick? I dedicate this to you because this is gonna happen to you.
Put the motherfucker face.
That's what's gonna happen. To you. And you know right now, it's not a threat. It's a promise because we gone.
Put the motherfucker on the face!
And that's going to happen. Very fast. Just letting you know.
Oh,
wow.
Because over here, Shabby, as they say, these youngins, over here is...
the winning.
Always on the Middleman Talk Show, Blog Talk Radio. Okay. Well, y'all got anything y'all want to say?
Al brought up wine, so it's, you know, wine time. So I'll see y'all next week.
We out, man.
Yeah.
The winning.